Thank you. So I'm Patrick Lee. So this is a joint work with my collaborators at Huazhong University of Science and Technology. So in this work, we focus on decentralized KV stores, which are now widely deployed as the cloud storage backends. So the idea of decentralized KV stores is to map each KV object deterministically to a node that stores the objects by some form of hashing in a decentralized way. So you don't need any centralized lookup, so this makes the object access very efficient. There are many real-world examples of these key value stores like Dynamo, Cassandra, and Memcached. And there are two requirements for such decentralized KV stores. One is availability, which means that the data remains available even in the presence of failures. And another one is the scalability, which means that I can easily add nodes or remove nodes from the system dynamically. So let's talk about availability. The traditional way to do this is based on replication, which means that each KV object will be replicated into multiple identical copies that will be stored in different nodes. So examples of using replication includes Dynamo and Cassandra. The drawback is there will be huge redundancy overhead. And given that we are dealing with a huge amount of data, the storage overhead of replication will be very expensive. So we look at an alternative for redundancy, which is based on erasure coding. So the idea is to generate the redundancy based on some form of data encoding computations. And it is shown that it can achieve much higher reliability than replication under the same storage redundancy. And actually, many object storage systems are using that as the fault tolerance schemes. For example, Azure shows that they can reduce the redundancy from 3 times in replication to 1.33 times in using erasure coding. And that translates to petabytes of saving and say, millions of dollar savings. The question is, can we apply erasure coding in a seamless way in decentralized KV stores? So let me give you a brief background on what erasure coding is. So the idea is we have two configurable parameters, n and k, where n is greater than k. So we first divide the file data into k data chunks of equal size and encode them into additional n minus k equal size parity chunks. So we now have a total of n erasure coded chunks, which we call a stripe, and we distribute this stripe across n nodes. And the property of erasure coding is you can achieve fault tolerance that any k of n chunks can recover the original file data. So in this example, we have n k equals to 4.2. So I have 4 erasure coded chunks that are distributed across 4 nodes. Any 2 nodes can recover the original data. For example, a, b, a plus c, b plus d, I can take a plus c, subtract a, and I get c, and I b plus d, and subtract b from this, and that will be, I will get d. So any 2 nodes can recover the original data. In other words, I can tolerate any 2 node failures. The redundancy overhead here is 2 times. On the other hand, if you use replication, you need 3 copies to tolerate any 2 node failures. So that would be, but the redundancy overhead is 3 times. So erasure coding actually is very storage efficient. There are 2 approaches to do the coding. One is, given a KV object, you divide this into K data chunks and you encode them. Or you combine multiple objects into a data chunk and you collect K data chunks and encode them. So we believe that cross-coding is more suitable for decentralized KV stores. One reason is there's work showing that a lot of KV workloads are dominated by small objects. So another thing is you can directly access the objects based on where it is located. You just access the chunk, you get the object, and you don't need to collect K chunks in order to reconstruct the object. So we look at cross-coding in this work. Another requirement for KV stores is about scalability. In here, we say we focus on scaling, which means we can add nodes, which we refer to scale out, or remove nodes, which we refer to as scale in. And these operations are very important for storage elasticity. So the common form, the common way to do scaling is based on consistent hashing. And this is an efficient deterministic object-to-node mapping scheme. And the idea is a node will be mapped to multiple virtual nodes on a hash ring for load balancing. And For each KV object, we compute the hash value and also map to the same hash ring, and the object will be stored in the nearest node along the clockwise directions along the hash ring. So for example, in here there are three nodes. Each node will be mapped to two virtual nodes, so there are six nodes in here. And object A will be stored in N2, and object B will be stored in N1, and object C will be stored in N2. Now, let's say if we add a new node N4 to the system, then all I need is to just relocate the objects that are stored in the nodes adjacent to the newly added nodes, without relocating all the objects in the systems. So consistent hashing allows us to do incremental scalability, and that makes scalability very efficient. Now, the question is, if we apply cross-coding in consistent hashing, what does it look like? In fact, it's not really a problem for replication or self-coding. For example, for replication, all you need is you first identify the first node to store the first copy, and the replicas will be stored in the following nodes after the first node in the clockwise direction along the hash ring. And same thing for hash coding, you store the coded chunks right after the first node along the hash ring. On the other hand, if we apply cross-coding in consistent hashing, there will be two issues. One is the parity updates, and another one is the impaired degraded reads. So I will elaborate them using examples. So the first challenge here is the parity updates, because when you migrate the objects to a new node, the structure of the data chunks has changed. So you also need to update the parity chunk in order to maintain the consistency of a stride. The way to do the parity chunk update is you read the existing parity chunk first, add the change of the data chunks to the parity chunk, and write them back to the node. So there will be a read, modify, write process when we do the parity chunk update. So in here, let's say I have this layout, and now I add a new node N4, so the objects DH will be moved to N4, and so in this case, I have both the data chunks updated, and I also need to update the parity chunk. And that will actually introduce a lot of traffic, because I need to read the parities, update, and write them back. So if scaling is a frequent operation, there will be a huge amount of data transfer because of these parity updates. The second challenge is that it will be very difficult to coordinate the object migration and parity updates process during the change of my multiple chunks. Because when I want to access an object during the scaling, actually it may not be that easy. So for example, in here, let's say if I want to access object D from node 4, it won't be possible until D has been migrated to node 4. So another way, maybe I cannot directly access object D from N4, but I may issue a degraded read by collecting the data chunks from N2 and also parity chunk from N3 and decode the object D. However, it won't be possible if H has just been migrated away from N2, because data chunk in N2 has also changed. So I now only have one parity chunk, and there's no way for me to do the decoding in here. Of course, you may argue that, hey, before I do the migration, I can make a copy so I can access the copy from the old node. But the thing is, it will be very hard to generalize for all types of object migrations and the corresponding parity update process. And in our work, what we are going to do is to propose a simple scheme that resolve all these issues. So here comes our contributions. We first proposed a new heuristic coding model called FragEC. And the idea is to allow a chunk to be fragmented and such that we can avoid entirely the parity updates. And another one is we build consistent hashing on the multiple hash ring such that we can resolve the degraded read issues and is actually also preserve the existing consistent hashing design. Furthermore, we propose a fragmented node repair scheme that allows us to do the fast recovery. And we realize all these things in a prototype called EasyHash, which is built on Memcached. And we show a lot of performance results, and showing that the scaling throughput could be increased by 8.3 times in a local testbed, and also 5.2 times in AWS. And we can also show that the degraded read redundancy could be reduced by around 80% in both settings. So our insight here is when we do erasure coding, actually the actual coding unit has a much smaller size than a chunk. So for example, when let's say we use the common coding scheme called Resolomon coding, actually we can do the coding unit at the byte level, while the chunk size is usually on the order of kilobytes. So in this case, if we look at this more carefully, actually the coding is done at the same offset along all the chunks of a stripe. And different coding units, the coding units at different offsets will be encoded independently. In other words, we don't have to do the coding at the whole chunk level, but we can do this at the sub-chunk level. And this gives us the flexibility to assign chunks to different nodes. And the idea of FragEC is to allow the mapping of a data chunk to multiple nodes, so that we don't have to bound a data chunk to a specific node. And in this case, we allow each data chunk to be fragmented into different subchunks, where the subchunks may be stored in different nodes depending on where the objects are being located. In this case, we decouple these tight chunk-to-node mappings, and the data chunk layout remains unchanged logically, although physically, the objects may be stored in different nodes. And because the stripe layout remains unchanged, so the parity does not need to be updated, and there's no parity update. So that's the whole idea. To realize this thing, we rely on several data structures and also the metadata to keep track of the relationships among the objects, the chunks, and the stripes. So you can refer to the details to the paper, but I want to highlight one data structure called OIRList, which is a data structure that lists all the object references and offsets in each data chunk. So basically, I record the positions of the objects in the data chunk, and when the objects are migrated, we also keep track of the mapping of this object to the data chunk, and we make sure that the layout of the data chunks remains unchanged. Of course, we also need to make sure that no two data chunks will share the same node, because otherwise the fault tolerance will be violated, and we will address this issue in a moment. But this actually enables us to avoid the parity update. So when we do the scaling, we just simply follow the traditional consistent hashing design, and what we do is we traverse the object index to identify which objects to be migrated and follow consistent hashing to migrate the objects. And here, when we do the scaling, the OIR list remains unchanged, so there will be no parity updates in here. So how do we make sure that no two chunks will be stored in the same node, because now the chunks are fragmented? And what we do is very simple. We just divide the nodes into n isolated zones. And basically, there will be n stripes, and the n chunks of a stripe will be stored in n different hash rings. And each hash ring will correspond to a disjoint subset of nodes. And in each hash ring, it also preserves the consistent hashing design. And so what we're doing here is we make sure that the scaling process will be staged and make sure that the additions and removals of the nodes will affect only at most up to n minus k hash rings. So in this case, I can guarantee that all the objects remains available. Either I can access it directly, or I can issue a degraded read to the object. So the objects are always available in this case. Now, the chunks may be fragmented into different subchunks. So each failed node may only contain a subchunk. So when we want to recover the data in this failed node, how do we do this? Traditional way to do the erasure coding is doing at the whole chunk level. So that may not be efficient, because even though a failed node only contains subchunks, you still retrieve all the data for recovering the whole chunks. In fact, we don't need to do that. And what we can do is we perform repair at the subchunk level. And we call this the fragment repair. So the example is, for example, let's say a failed node store object A3. Originally, I need to read everything in here in order to reconstruct the data chunk here and reconstruct this particular object. Now, what we need to do is just look at the offset, look at which objects has been covered by this A3 in the same offset. So in here, I only need to read B2, B3, C3, and to reconstruct the object A3. In here, we did not try to break it down to parity, we still read the whole parity because we treat the parity chunk as an object. Although we can further optimize it by just reading a part of the parity chunk to further improve the repair performance. So we build a system EC hash. So it's built on memcached. It's a in-memory KV store, but it doesn't have to be for memcached. You can also apply this for persistent KV store. And we use Intel ISA Arrow for the coding. And so basic idea is the proxy will be like the memcached client, and the proxy will issue the rights to the different servers. You can refer the details in the paper about how we implement this, but there are some limitations that we can further extend in the future, like consistency issue, degraded rights, and also how to manage the metadata management and provide fault tolerance for that. And we have some evaluation results. We conduct evaluation in two test beds, one is in the local test bed, one is in the cloud test bed, where we use 45 memcached instances and also the Amazon EC2 instance for the proxy and also the persistent database. And we modify YCSB to take into account different object sizes and read-write ratios. And we mainly compare with the CC memcached, which is the baseline cross-coding design for memcached, which has been taken by some previous work on applying eraser coding in memory KV stores. And we also compare our EC-hash prototype with the vanilla memcached without any coding to see whether it preserves the basic I/O performance. And the answer is yes, and you can see the results in the paper. Just to highlight a few results here, the first one is about scaling. The x-axis is different nk values. Here we fix n minus k equals to 2, and s is the number of nodes that are added to the system, and y-axis is the scaling throughput. And we see that EC-hash improves the throughput a lot. So in here, in the cloud setting, we improve the throughput by 5.2 times. And for the degraded reads, X is the number of nodes that I added to the system during scaling, and we fix n case to 5.3. Again, we also show that the degraded read latency could be reduced by up to 89%. And the main reason for this reduction is for CC memcached, if it cannot find the object, it will go to the persistent database to retrieve the object. So that's why there's such a big difference in degraded reads. And finally, it's about the node repair performance. We show that actually if you do fragment repair, the repair throughput is very close to CC memcached, which maintains the chunks at the whole chunk level. So to conclude, we look at the issue of how we deploy eraser coding in decentralized KV stores, and particularly for small size objects. And we open source our prototype, so you can go there, download this, and validate our claims. Thank you, and I appreciate your questions and comments.
Benjamin from the German Aerospace Center. I would like to know if you have some numbers regarding the proxy for the metadata management, regarding the performance limitations.
We don't have these numbers, but the thing is, for the metadata, the size is much smaller than the object size, and so most of the performance overhead is still due to the migration of these data, the key value objects, rather than the metadata management. And also for the computation of the encoding, decoding actually is very small, because usually the encoding and decoding throughput could be very fast if we use Intel ISA Arrow. Yeah.
Thanks for a nice talk. I'm wondering if you can comment on the concept of a transaction, whether it's at the granularity of a key value pair, and how one would extend your system to support transactions that span across multiple key value pairs. Is it trivial or
That's a good question. It's like right now we focus on more like a single KV object access. For the transactions one, we did not consider that. That may be another issue, yes.
Yeah. Okay, actually I have a question. So your coding scheme kind of forces you to break the parities groups into smaller rings.
Yes.
That's a technique that's commonly used to improve like mean time to data loss. I'm wondering if you compared like the resiliency of your approach to the existing system. It seems like that trick usually helps. I'm wondering if you've lost anything or if you're...
I think the MTDDL remains pretty much the same, like existing erasure coding, because we still keep the same number of parity chunks for the fault tolerance, so I think it's not, but because they are now spread to many nodes, so would that be possible that one node fails and you increase the chance to lose the reliability? I think there may be some difference, but overall, I think compared to at least replication, we still maintain high reliability.
Yeah. Thanks.